So we're going to continue on the topical side of preaching, because we've taken a break from John, and I know Pastor Hong was doing for the past 3 weeks some topical things, and I'm continuing the topical thing, but it's still in John actually, but it's not exactly from what we've been doing right after our last time we left on. I don't even remember, but this is coming from my personal devotion as well, so I'm going to introduce it with this. Well, first the title is Desperate for Stability. Right? And the introduction is, where is your anchor? Where is your anchor? Now, I'm going to just give you an analogy to kind of set the pace of everything that we're going to get into as far as this word. Now, for me, I told you guys a long time, like my hobby now has been for a while, but fishing. So I learned to fish from a boat years ago, right? And then when you fish in a boat out on a lake, you learn that you have to get an anchor, right? You have to buy an anchor before you get a boat, right? Because the wind on the water is very deceptive compared to what you're experiencing on land. We really don't notice it unless it's very gusty winds on top of land. But when there's a slight breeze, when you're on the lake, you notice it. And you know, because of our bodies are anchored by our limbs and body weight, we don't notice anything. But the water is moving from the slightest bit of wind, and if you don't have an anchor, it can carry you clear across a lake without you even knowing it, right? And that's a lot like life without an anchor of your soul, right? That's a lot like life. Look at Hebrews 6:19 through 20. It says this: we have this as a sure, steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Now, think about it this way. Jesus is for us what my anchor is for my boat. That when things outwardly begin to affect us to the point we don't know where we are in our life, like whether it's with your spouse, your kids, your job, school, friends, suddenly you're somewhere you never thought you would be, right? It's an indicator of who and what has been serving as our anchor. That it wasn't grounded enough or deep enough, because in these lakes in Washington, I used to fish in Georgia, and they'd be like 10, 12 feet deep. Some of these lakes in Washington are like 100 feet deep. So I got a rope that it has to extend longer and longer and deeper as the winds get heavier. So if you think about an anchor of your soul, your relationship, as life continues to grow stronger and stronger, your relationship has to get deeper to keep you grounded, right? So I ask you, is your anchor deep enough to sustain your soul? Or is it depleting your soul, the thing that you have your anchor in, right? God's created us such that we need someone great enough to manage the constant turmoil life brings. That Jesus would be seen as the burden bearer of our soul, because many of the decisions we make or quit making is to just relieve the burden and find some stability in this world. Right? So Matthew 11:29, Jesus says this: take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So he's saying, let's trade yokes, because you have a yoke that's heavy on your neck. And learn from me. Renew your mind on how to handle life through me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus describes himself as gentle and lowly in contrast to people, circumstances, and the way we think, which is usually worry. That in order for stability to happen, we must find rest for our souls. Otherwise, the burdens we carry from people and circumstances get too heavy, and we just want to unload, so we quit. Quit relationships, quit jobs, quit ministries. So I ask you this: how many people pour into you versus the people and things who take from you? How many people pour into you, give you life, build up your soul, compared to the things that take away from you? Whether it's school, job, spouse, kids, whatever, things take. What are you getting back? What are you going to get filled up? Think about all the people and things that demand your attention, time, love, and energy. What is anchoring you? Who is anchoring you? See, herein lies this Satan's attempt to destroy us, to entertain the possibility of finding rest apart from start changing our circumstances. We want to continually change the circumstances and find rest in those things, as opposed to inwardly allowing the circumstances to be whatever they are and let Jesus carry us through. So it can come from trying to imagine another life, fantasizing. People leave their families, burying ourselves in something to neglect the issue going on inside. See, Jesus says stability is possible. We just need to indicate where our anchor is, right? Is it in people, circumstances? Because the problem is eternal, internal, and restless instability can only be dealt with personally, one-on-one with God. So he says, I want to be the savior and anchor of your soul. So when we look at this passage today with Peter, it's symbolizing around Peter. I want you to see the things he goes through, and prayerfully, I think God will show you how we all go through these processes of trying to find stability desperately. So going back to what we know, look at the disciples. They're going back to what we know. This is after Jesus has been crucified. After he's been crucified. Now, it says this, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. So now he's risen, and now he's revealing himself. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Now remember, Peter had a fishing business, and God called him out of that, right? To go be fisher of men. And they said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, consider the context. Though Jesus had been telling them that he would be crucified, right? He was telling them all along, if you read throughout the gospel. He also knew that as it was happening, everyone would scatter and deal with the darkness of it in their own way. Particularly Peter, because he just denied him, right? He just denied him. So Peter does what we naturally do when we're discouraged and dejected. Sorry. We have the tendency to go back to something we once found comfort or stability in. Because we're trying to deal with something on the inside. And while everything is shaken up in turmoil, I'm just trying to find stability in something. So he said, I'm going back fishing. So the search for stability and comfort can come in many different ways. We know this, right? Some clearly dysfunctional and destructive that you can't usually hide, like drugs, heavy drinking, illicit relationships. But others can come in seemingly non-destructive ways, but are just as divisive, right? Example could be marriage is struggling, so I focus on being a mom. Or as a dad, I focus on my job and the hobbies. No one knows it's destructive and the house is divided, right? But I'm just trying to find some stability when everything is unstable right now. That's what Peter's doing. So Peter, more than anyone else at this time, out of all those disciples I was naming, Peter is probably more unstable because he's dealing with the weight of failure. A seeming failure as he perceives it. Let's say that. He has made an assumption in self-confidence, right, and failed miserably in denying Jesus. Now, he goes on to fish where he, ironically, right, left the business of fishing to go and follow Jesus, right? He left the business to follow Jesus, but now everything is unstable in this faith thing. You get crucified, Jesus, this thing is unstable, I'm going back to fishing. Let me go back to what I know, he's saying. And lo and behold, He's failing at something he was once confident in and then successful in, right? He goes back to the thing he was had a business in. He goes back to it, and he's failing in that. They caught nothing, right? But God's faithfulness is such that once we have come to experience a relationship or a journey with Jesus, we cannot go back to what we used to do when we didn't need God. He won't let us do that. He says, you can't quit when I'm telling you to trust me and persevere through the dark stages. Because I'm faithful in that too. Even when you're faithless, I can't deny yourself, the Bible says. He can't deny himself. So these times, think about this. These times of darkness really teach us we don't know anything. I can't control everything. See, it's just pride, right? It's just pride to think that we have an answer to peace and stability without facing Jesus. It's pride. God will let us revert back to our ways. See, he lets them go back fishing and then show that they don't produce like they once did. They used to do that when you weren't with me. But now you're a fisher of men, it's not happening. You got to walk this out with me. You've had an experience with me. You know the truth. You cannot go back into darkness as an option. And darkness is what? Going our own way. That's what that is. Now, the Apostle Paul says something that's beautiful. He calls himself a prisoner. Look at Ephesians 4:1, and this is what I believe it is. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. What is he saying? We cannot escape what God has revealed or done in our life, right? We're prisoners to that reality, which is good. That's a good thing. See, no one can talk you out of Jesus when you didn't see him do what he's already done. You're a prisoner to that. And Paul knew that, so he said, look, I can't go anywhere. I'm locked in. The only place I can go is forward. It's forward. So Peter, like us all, is still dealing with his pride and unbelief. To want to do what he was good at and once found stability in, at a time his faith is shaken and too unstable to deal with his internal burdens. That's all of us. That's why Jesus has to be an anchor. Because those are moment by moment sometimes, tough seasons, having to find stability when everything's crazy. Now, this is a big turning point, I think, for everybody. Recognizing what is not working. Some do and some don't. Look at this, John 21:4-8. And it's a mercy to recognize it. Say that. It's a mercy to recognize what's not working, right? It says this, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And Jesus said something. They answered him, no. He said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple who Jesus loved, that's John, he's talking about himself really, therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, so he didn't know, he's so dejected, he put on his outer garment for he stripped for work and threw himself into the sea. And I'll explain that. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Now, notice this in recognizing what's not working. Jesus asked them a question, really, that no fisherman wants to answer, right, if you haven't caught anything. Like, people will ask me that I'm out there fishing, and a guy will see me out there, and he's like, yeah, have you caught anything? The last thing I want to tell him is no, because that's humiliating, right? And he's looking at me like, well, why you got this boat out here and you haven't caught a fish? You've been out here for 4 hours. I've watched you, right? But he's asking them the same thing. Why is he asking them the same thing? He wants them to be honest in the failure of their ways. So now they're humble enough to listen, right? Humble enough to listen. It's because one of the most difficult things to try and give it is to try and give advice to people who haven't failed at anything yet. Right? Peter had been a part of Jesus' miracles, and before he'd been crucified, he'd seen the works. And it was Jesus at the height of his ministry and all these things going on. He predicted to Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter would, and we'll get to that, but Peter denies that. His response is this, Matthew 26:33, Peter answers him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. In his presumption, he says, I'll never fall away. Because you think about his presumption and pride, he hadn't failed in walking with Jesus yet to this degree. It is the failure, though, that sets him up to be honest and listen to someone other than himself or people who only agree with him. Look at our society today. I only listen to people who think like me. So you can't even be open to people who may have a suggestion that you never heard of. Can't even be open to it. So now they're open after admitting their way is not working. That's humility. I'm admitting I need help. Jesus tells them to cast their net on the other side, and they can't haul in the number of fish they catch. Now, humility, right, set them up to give credit and glory to God, not themselves. This is key, because it's what pushes you to keep seeking God instead of yourself. Now, John, remember, recognized the relationship. Because of this relationship, he recognized that this must be the Lord, right? Whereas Peter, he just hears about it, remember? Because he's so dejected. There are times when you can't really see, recognize that's God speaking, and someone has to help you, right? But in his conviction, he leaves the fish he'd been toiling for all night for Jesus. But he needed John. Ain't that something? He needed fellowship. He needed somebody to open up the word for him to see that's God. And when he realized that's God from his brother, he went after him. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what fellowship does. That's why there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. You're going to need somebody someday to be able to tell you what you don't want to hear, but you got to be open enough to listen. And failure will get you there. When things aren't working, they'll get you there. No matter how smart you are, God knows we need him. Now, Peter shows in this radical act that he was settling for what he used to do. But notice this. He was settling what he used to do, but it wasn't really what he wanted to do. Isn't that something? He didn't really want to settle for that. Because Jesus shows up and he left the fish. He spent his life, he's toiling the whole night trying to just get fish. He sees Jesus, he leaves it. That just says, I was settling for this. I really want you. His old ways for stability don't compare to the love and passion he has for Jesus. He had to realize that. So worship of Jesus is necessary because when you love God, he compels us to put down what we settle for. You can be settled at a place in your life, and God will compel you to be like, no, I want to start a business. No, I don't want our relationship to be this boring. Let's do this. You know, God will compel you to do that instead of settling for, you know what you don't want, but you don't believe it can get better. The problem with this is unbelief, of course, because think about it this way. What we're settling for is rooted in ourselves, instability. That's instability. Me depending on just me to get it all going is unstable. You got to get out of your pride to admit that, though. So instead of Jesus, we're stability and the anchor of our soul, and he's a provider as well, right? He's a provider as well. But it took Peter to be humiliated from his prideful ways to compel him to be open to what God was saying for him to do. Now I'm asking you, what is that for you? What ways are you reverting back to try and find stability? You see, this can range from a million different things. It could be an attitude, right? A philosophy of life, people, and then we get to drugs, alcohol, whatever. All of these, though, think about it, are rooted in ways of trying to find stability. And notice that they just cause greater instability. The deeper you get into them, the people, the attitude, the philosophy, or whatever, outside of Jesus, you just get more unstable. See, and this is where we all fall into. It's an effort to be comfortable in dysfunction and confusion. See, we manufacture ways to find stability in unstable environments, right? This goes back to the garden. Look at this, Genesis 3:7. They sinned against God, right? Adam and Eve. Watch what they do. They were naked and unashamed before they sinned. Notice what they do. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And listen, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. I'm going to make something to cover up my shame and instability. That's where we get it from. And you can't judge because we all got different ways of doing that if we're not rooted in Jesus. Just because you know mine or you can see mine doesn't mean yours are not just as bad if it's not in Jesus. They were making their own means to cover their unstable soul. That's all that meant. It was outward. I'm trying to fix inward problems with outward whatever. That's why I say, when your image is everything, you're trying to make an image, clothes, this, that, and the third to fix inside. All we're doing is perpetuating this. That's it. It don't matter what fashions change. Don't matter how good we look, how in shape we get. It's only when we realize that our way is not working, we are open to consider our need for help. So when Peter recognized it was Jesus, that he didn't know what to do with his life, all he knew was to go back to what he knew. And he knew he needed Jesus as an anchor of his soul. That's why he left the fish, right? So in essence, whenever God reveals himself to you in the midst of your instability, think of it this way. You find where your heart and conviction is. He reveals himself to you in the midst of that situation. And then you realize how much you loved and missed the presence of God. That's the beauty of it when God shows up in your unstable place. He shows you how much you love him. He was trying to help Peter say, stop being self-confident about how much you love me. Because I'm about to test you and show you, you don't as much as you think. So once you fail, you stop being presumptuous about stuff. You just start putting clauses there like, I don't know. You're willing to say that, right? Like my kids ask me a question like, I don't know. And they look at me like, ain't you supposed to know everything? No, Google it. You do everything else on the iPad or whatever. Look it up on there. Conclusion is this. Faith prioritizes stability. Faith prioritizes stability. I'm concluding. John 21, 9 through 14. When they got out on the land, this is awesome. They saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, now this is before they even get their other fish. Notice, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Jesus is being funny. I don't really need your stuff. I got it handled. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, the disciples get back to land and see that Jesus has already laid out a fish meal with bread, right? Now, this is what it speaks to. This is where faith comes in, and this is Christianity. Jesus already has the blessings of what we spend our lives trying to obtain apart from him. He says, remember he says, do not seek like the Gentiles what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Your father knows you have need of them. Seek first the kingdom. That's what he means. Whatever it is you're looking for, he says, I got it. But what does he want to do? Order. Here's order. The difference is that in being with Jesus, he brings order where? To our souls. To our souls first. A place of rest for us. That we not rest in works or what we can do, but rest in him. That's why he went to the cross. You don't have to do the works to find rest for your soul. Your faith in me will propel you to do the work, sure, but you are not the author of that. Faith in me will do that. Now, you can tell your stability or your anchor. This is how I think you can tell your anchor or stability. This is how I try and find it. You can tell it somewhere else. When your efforts seem like failure, right? And then your internal stability goes with it. So I'm doing these efforts and it seems like to me I'm failing. So at that point, my anchor of peace, joy, and righteousness will always be unstable. Because I'm looking at it, what I do for a living, my family, job, whatever. That's always unstable. That's the honesty you got to be with. Whether you're looking at families and be like, oh, they're so stable and they're perfect or whatnot. I mean, I just don't get it. Everything's, because if you're unstable, I'm unstable. So if I'm unstable and my wife's unstable, the kids are unstable, where are we going to find stability? That's why the Bible says, for the person, as I said, is personal. Be immovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your anchor's in me. You can keep doing your purpose in me. Find peace and rest for your soul and fulfill whatever God put you on the earth to do. But if you're trying to get everything stable, that's trying to be God. And that's why we're so anxious nowadays. And you see it all over. Matthew 6:33-34 says this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? Now, this is the same context. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The day has enough trouble to bring you anxiety. The day, right? Jesus wants to convey order by letting him take care of what we need and the desires of our heart. That's faith. But without seeking God first, now I'm not taking care of my soul. I'm out of order. That's where real stability lies, inside. Because I can't get everything right outside, right? So now I'm unstable inside while I'm anxious about what? Tomorrow. Which brings more instability. So I'm never at peace. Because I'm trying to do the order thing, and God has said, I got it. That's the fight. And I'm with you. I get it. And this word is for me, so I'm just helping you. This is from my devotional. But God says, you can't do it. Just find peace and let it be what it is. Do all you can do and let me be God. So notice that Jesus tells Peter to bring the fish that they caught from obedience to him. And then the net that preserves was from Jesus as well. That's why they knew it was from the Lord, because their efforts produced nothing they desired. I ask you that. Are your efforts producing what you desired? So the key is this. If it's not, to do the same thing over and over again and it's not working, and psychology says that's insanity. And here's why. We keep doing it. Unbelief. When we think about the world, I don't believe in Jesus, so I'm just going to keep manipulating this, that, and the third. But for the Christian, we should be humble enough to be like, God, I need you. Because I've come to a place where I can't get it right, and I'm failing. That's okay. He already knew. Notice this. They knew it was the Lord because their efforts produced nothing they desired. But obedience to Jesus not only produced more than enough, all those fish, right? But nothing was wasted. The nets preserved. Notice all the time and ways, our ways waste time and resources. Think about that. Our way of doing things, it wastes time. Think about our way of trying to manipulate relationships. Now we're wasting time arguing when we could be enjoying each other. Right? God said, do it my way. Our desperation for stability is such that we try and control and manipulate situations and people to get it. We'll manipulate people and situations to get stability, or think we're getting stability, which really comes from anxiety. Notice that. I'm trying to get stability from fear. That's what God says. It comes through faith. So here's the mentality when we're doing that manipulation thing, trying to get stable. That if I don't put myself first, things won't work out. People won't do what I want. And what does God say that is? That's faithless and that's unstable. But we do that because we're trying to get stable. And God says, see, that's confusion. So Jesus is revealing himself to the disciples and rising from the dead. Here's the significance of the gospel here. I want you to see this. Faith in this promise of his resurrection is the foundation of trusting him to provide whatever they need. He's saying, if I raise from the dead, why wouldn't I take care of you? Why wouldn't I order your soul? See, when we have that kind of stability, we can then have peace. Because the internal part is taken care of. I don't need to get you right to feel good about myself. But that's what we do. Jesus has provided peace for me, so I can get it from him. Jesus is my peace. Everything he embodies, he will provide in his way. That's why it's faith. That's why it's faith. He'll provide it in his way, and that leads to what? Stability. That's all he wants us to have. So once you have stability, then you can handle other things rightly, because you know you're not handling from a place of anxiety, trying to keep it for yourself, but you're handling it from the place God wants us to handle it for him to be glorified. Amen? Let's pray.